Hi everyone, and welcome back to Intuitive Conversations with Chantel and Tamara. I'm Chantel Neufeldt.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And today we're talking about our favorite books and what we've been up to in the past 2 years, because it's been 2 years since we've recorded.
Right. For those of you who have never seen one of our podcasts or don't know who we are, we're a couple of friends who met way back in 2018. I was in the middle of radiation treatments for breast cancer that I was going through. We happened to connect, and as soon as we started visiting with each other, we realized that we were on a very similar wavelength, and we had so much fun just talking about ideas, sharing the books we were reading. We both share a tremendous passion for everything personal growth, spirituality, and so those are the kinds of things that we talk about in our podcast, and we call it Intuitive Conversations because we just kind of start gabbing and let it go where it goes
for hours. We're both Cancer signs, and I think we
right, and we both have a fair amount of Gemini, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So we're going to catch you up a little bit on what we've been doing, because we just discovered our last podcast was February of 2023, so that's almost 2 years ago.
It seems like just yesterday though.
Right.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, I became a grandmother. I became a grandmother. I have a sweet grandson now and a second grandchild on the way. So very exciting. That's been an absolute joy in my life. And the biggest news lately is that I just finished retiring at the end of December. So
happy for you.
I'm enjoying living by the clock and having this new life of not having an agenda every single day. And hoping to get to some long waiting writing projects that have been sitting in various stages of completion. So, yeah, looking to see what life brings me now that I have an open path in front of me, and very excited. And also, you know, with a little bit of trepidation, because when you're used to defining yourself in a certain way and having a title and having a place to go every day, you start wondering, well, who am I now? So this is the year to find out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, all the things. Some new friendships, relationships. One of my kids got married. All my kids are adults now. Yeah, and I have an office in Winnipeg at the Safe Harbor Therapy Center.
Fabulous.
For doing hypnotherapy and counseling. So yeah, been busy with all sorts of projects. I love a good collaboration.
Yeah, it's great to be together. And with more time comes more energy. So hopefully now we can be a little more regular about posting our podcasts and having some fun conversations and seeing how you might join in with us.
Yeah, but today we brought our favorite books along.
Yeah, we were talking about 2025. And as this year dawns, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. We see that things are shifting. We know we're in a time of huge shift, and it just stands to reason. A lot of the systems and structures that have been in place have ceased to serve us well. And as those things unravel, then we are kind of in a holding pattern of like what new structures will arise. And with that comes a lot of uncertainty, and often a lot of fear for people. And so in our podcast, and as we move forward, maybe in the next couple of podcasts, we want to talk about navigating 2025 and what that might look like and what might be some good strategies and things. And for this podcast, we each chose a book. So I'm going to let you start, Chantel.
Okay.
And we did this without consulting with each other. So
yeah, we just so happened to pick books by the same author. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so mine is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and I love it. I love it so much. I guess the thing that stood out to me most from this book when I first read it was that we give our mind the impossible task of making everything perfect for us all of the time. And no wonder we have anxiety. No wonder the mind is just going and going and going. And so when I realized that, I was like, okay, so I can just give my mind a bit of a break. Like, it's just a computer. Like, it's okay to not be okay. And that was just a huge shift for me with anxiety. Let's see, I took some notes here. So the mind narrates the world for us to make the world more comfortable for us. And that makes sense. And often we ask, what should I do about it? Like when we have problems, we ask, what should I do about it? But instead, this book invites us to ask instead, what part of me is being disturbed by this? And who am I that notices this? So like you were just talking about, like, who am I now that I'm not, this title or
Well, I'm already hearing that this connects with some of the things we've talked about in the past, right? Like you are really into parts therapy.
Oh, for sure.
And
100%.
so, yeah, so these different voices in your mind, what parts of you are they representing? And shoot, what was the other thing? I've lost my
Like
train of
it's
thought
just
there.
more like being in the observer role of life instead of being so like lost into it. Like our this book talks about how our consciousness, our awareness is like sucked into vortexes of, like situations and fears and all that. And if we can just pull back and be in the observer seat, there is a lot more possibility for
That brought up, okay, this is what I where my thought was going that I forgot. It brought up for me the documentary, and it for the longest time it was on CBC Gem, and if it's not there, you can find it on YouTube, The Divided Brain with Ian McGilchrist. About the brain and the hemispheres and their different roles in mediating our reality and how we've become such a left brain world. And the left brain to me is where fear and ego reside. And so, I mean, we see the rise of ego and narcissism and the fear that comes with that, right? And the need to control. So that plays into exactly
Oh,
what
for
this book
sure.
is about.
And then another portion of this book talks about deciding to stay happy, deciding to stay peaceful, deciding that you want to be happy, and so then you look for things to be grateful for and to have joy about, and yeah, that is a huge shift too, and it really takes me out of the victim role and more into the empowered.
Oh, for sure.
But like everything's a spectrum. It's just like the noticing, where am I on it, and trying to.
And the difference that it makes when we choose to frame our own reality, right? I mean, that's a mastery living instead of a reactive way of
Because
living.
we make the meaning of the things that happen to us, and we can go back, like with hypnotherapy, and shift the meaning of things that we had as a kid, like, oh, so and so did this to me, and that makes them a bad person, that makes me this and this, right? Or we can be like, they were doing the best they could at the time, like we can totally shift these
Oh
meanings.
And I have found that for me, I've more and more drifted into the language of empowerment versus disempowerment. And so it really makes a difference when I look at someone maybe who's in the spotlight, who's behaving or asserting their power in a way that feels really destructive. And I can either say that person's a villain or evil or whatever, or I can say that person is extremely disempowered, and that's the place they're coming from. It kind of shifts the way I think of them,
Yeah, because
and
it
it
almost
shifts
makes you
how I
feel,
respond.
it makes you feel compassion, and it helps you not take it personally.
And it also helps me take responsibility for my own power. So this is where they're coming from. How do I choose to respond from a place of empowerment rather than being a victim? And I think that's going to be big in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's we're going to have to really be conscious of not falling into victimhood. Yeah. Are there like what are some of the favorite parts of the book or pieces that you've pulled out of there? Have you read it more than
Oh,
once?
I've read it so many times. It's my favorite book of all time.
Oh,
And I've
wow.
read many books. The Principle of the Tao, this was my introduction to it. So it's basically about life's a spectrum, and the Tao is the balance in the middle, kind of the eye of the storm, kind of.
Oh, and the flow.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know way more about it than me, but this was just like my baby introduction into the Tao. And it's basically, so an example of it would be like eating. So eating all the time, not healthy. Never eating, not healthy, right? So the Tao in the middle would
The
be,
middle way,
yeah, would be eating in moderation, right? Or relationships, if you spend all of your time together and your legs so attached, or You know, sometimes we need our own space, we need time, but we don't want to always be alone, right? So the Tao of relationships would be like we have time together, time apart. As Esther Perel, my new favorite teacher, would say, fire needs air. We need room to breathe. I could go. We'll have a podcast on Esther Perel stuff. Don't get me started on her. But also with the Tao, a lot of energy is wasted on like extremes. One of the quotes I wrote down, it said, extremes will end up creating their opposite, and it's wise to avoid them.
Oh, that's so,
what
true.
What a lesson.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, I love that. Well, and any of us who grew up in a dualistic belief system, right, which most people who grew up in a Christian denomination, it's very dualistic, and there's the good and evil, and the Taoist way is more about what works, right, and letting yourself be carried by the flow of life, putting yourself in the current, and it's just so much more of a trusting way of living.
We were talking about your plans and about how, you know, the universe might have some tweaks in those plans and how we need to be ready to flow with that.
Like John Lennon said, right? Life is what happens while you're making other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're not supposed to never make plans. Like, we're obviously supposed to have intentions and everything, but it's basically about co-creating with life. That's my intention for the new year. Well, we were going to pick words too, right?
Oh, yeah. What's your word for 2025?
My word is taking up more space. So space would be my word, because I have found that I like really shrink myself in certain areas or with certain people. And even in my family with my children and everything, it's just like taking up more space, allowing myself to have preference. And pivoting towards my preference.
Yeah, there's so much conditioning around that, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my word for 2025 is trustful, because when you're charting out in a new phase of life, a new chapter that hasn't been written, and you're facing a blank page, I've had these moments of panic over the past year because I made my decision to retire probably almost a year ago, if not more. Mm-hmm. I announced it officially last April. But yeah, you start thinking about, like I said, who am I going to be now? Where do I channel my energies? What is life asking of me now? And so there is a lot of uncertainty. And so I feel like I'm flowing right along with the uncertainty of the larger world. So I chose the word trust fall because I really want to fall into the trust of knowing there is guidance. And if I just follow the breadcrumbs, I will find my way forward. There's a saying, the way is made by walking. And so as I walk forward, I just want to be in trust that things will show up in the right time, in the right way. And in conjunction with that, the book that I chose is also by Michael Singer, The Surrender Experiment, which when I first read this book, and it's several years ago now, a number of years ago probably, I was just blown away. So this is Michael Singer's actual biography. And it starts with an experience that he had as a young adult. He was just barely in his 20s, a college student. And sitting on the couch one day with his brother-in-law, he all of a sudden, and searching for things to say because there was a lull in the conversation, there was this awkward silence, and he was frantically in his mind trying to pick up threads of a conversation that he could pull in and find something to break the ice. And he noticed what was going on in his mind, that this desperate scramble to make things right, to make things safe, to make things comfortable, this was what his mind was scrambling to do. And he was fascinated by it. But then it kind of became an obsession that he was conscious all the time of this voice and what it was doing. And so in his search to quiet the voice, he stumbled on meditation. And then he eventually adopted this attitude of, I'm just going to treat my life as a surrender experiment, that I know that whatever this voice is telling me, it's all about trying to be safe, trying to control things. And I am just going to open myself and surrender to the flow, very Taoist, of what life brings to me. And it is just the most incredible story of things that were brought into his life, many of which he resisted at first, because all he wanted was a quiet life of meditation in the woods so that he could pacify this constantly chattering voice in his head.
Was out of his comfort zone.
But life kept pushing him out of his comfort zone and bringing in people that pushed him out of his comfort zone and pushing him into situations that put and he just, I mean, it's almost like a yes man movie, right? He just kept saying yes to everything. But then the experiences that came out of that are just mind blowing. And so my recommendation for this year would be for everyone to read the Surrender Experiment, because I think we're going to have a hard time in 2025 and beyond if we don't learn to surrender to something larger than ourselves and to that fearful, fear-based need for control voice in our left hemispheres. And yeah, I just think
We'll be
we
saying
could.
plot twist a lot. We do a lot
Right?
of improv, a lot of
Yeah.
psychic improv.
Yeah. But the great news is that when you read a book like this, you realize that even though the ego fears surrender above all things, that once you make the choice to surrender, the things that come out of it are beyond what you could have even imagined.
A lot of
So.
people in relationships, like if they can't find the one or whatever. As soon as they give up, kind of a thing, or surrender, that's
Right,
when that
yeah.
person just automatically comes because the universe can work with that instead of, people have too rigid rules about, like, this is exactly what I want in a person, or this is
Yeah.
exactly what I want in a job, then the universe can't really work with that and give you, like, hey, like, this would actually be better for you.
Oh, we get so rigid. Yeah. Yeah, you're so right.
And I've been following Sonia Choquette's stuff. I'm in her Good Vibes Club this. Or Good Vibes Tribe, I think she calls it, this year. And she talks a lot about play, like how your intuition can speak to you and you can be in more flow when you're at play. Like Einstein
Oh.
said, that was like his biggest regret was not playing more, because that's when all of his
Yeah.
big ideas came to him.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And how many times is it that like you're puzzling over a problem or trying to do some kind of a task and you get really stuck? And the more you try to force it, it's just frustrating. And then you go wash the dishes or go for a walk or something, and all of a sudden the answer just like floats into your awareness with effortlessly. And I think we've been really trained to effort our way through life. And I've done my share of trying to force things. And you get this guilt around, I'm not trying hard enough, or like I need to Anthony Robbins my life a little more, right? And put in the effort and just force it, just like, get tough with
Or get
myself and
it
have the
perfect.
mindset. And I want ease and flow in my life. And that's why the trust fall, it just is the vibe that I want to cultivate this year in my life. So it makes me wonder if anyone out there is watching and would like to put in the comments, like, what would be your word for 2025? I have a friend who every year picks a different word, and that's where the idea came for us to do this. And the one year when I was in cancer treatment, she came to me with the word intrepid. And I have a friend, I don't know if you can see in the background, the quilt on my couch there. A friend quilted that for me when I was going through treatments. And so this friend put, the word intrepid is on my quilt. And I just thought, what a wonderful idea to pick a word as a theme for your year to express what it is that you want to cultivate and pursue or open yourself to.
And what did that word mean to you? Because like words mean different things to different people.
Yeah, for me, it kind of brought this Joan of Arc energy into my, like I'm not afraid. I was made to do this, or something like that. Her words, I think, were exactly, I am not afraid. I was born to do this. And so, going into cancer treatments with that quilt with all of my friends' good wishes on it wrapped around me, it just gave me the strength and fortitude. And yeah, it's a framing, right? It's a mind frame. And so, it's part of this mastery living where you choose how you want to enter any circumstance, and in this case, an entire year.
Yeah, I remember you talking to me way back then about like how much visualization was a part of your recovery.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Intentional visualization. Yeah.
Yeah, so then I think if you choose a word, right, like what do you visualize when you're thinking about taking up space? Are there images that really bring that to life for you in your mind?
Well, I have been like tuning into like the archangels for and like calling them in on in all directions, you know, like above, below, and like east, south, north,
Taking up
west.
space?
Yes. And I feel like I could take up more space when I feel protected by my angels like that.
Lovely.
And so like I visualize colors with that. Steve Nobel has some guided meditations on Insight Timer that I've been listening to. I mean, they're a little woo-woo, but they are helpful
Hey, woo is
to
great. Woo is probably what we need right now, right?
me.
We've gotten
Yeah.
too stuck in rigidity and we
The
need a little woo to.
subconscious mind communicates in strange things, colors and symbols and all that. So I'm all about it. Okay.
Well, I think that probably brings us to the end of a good first podcast for 2025. And so we wish everyone well and wonderful new developments in your life in 2025. And how, what's our tagline? How do we usually end?
Something about music and song. Like, oh, keep following
Oh,
your heart
that's
song.
right. Keep following your heart song.